We will commence our evening worship with Psalm 36, verses 6 to 12. The heavens by the word of God did their beginning take, and by the breathing of his mouth he all our hosts did make. The waters of the seas he brings together as a heap, and in storehouses, as it were, he layeth up the deep. Let earth and all that live therein with reverence fear the Lord. Let all the world's inhabitants dread him with one accord. For he did speak the word and done it was without delay, established it firmly stood whatever he did say. God doth the counsel bring to naught which heathen folk do take, and what the people do devise that none effect doth make. Oh, but the counsel of the Lord doth stand forever sure, and of his heart the purposes from age to age endure. That nation blessed is whose God Jehovah is, and those a blessed people are whom for his heritage he chose. I think it might be helpful if I read the text which I shall be preaching this evening. It's from Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23. O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. So you'll find, God willing, that all the psalms that we're singing tonight is directed to that verse and the theme of the preaching this evening. Psalm 33 then, beginning at verse 6, but before we do so, we will pray. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. Just one moment, turning to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 9, before we and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world have been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. Our heavenly Father, as we come to thee this night, we acknowledge that by the word of the Lord, all things were created. And we thank thee, Lord, that the hidden wisdom of God has been revealed in the gospel. Lord, the wonderful mysteries that were hidden from the beginning of the world have now been made known to us. And we pray, Lord, that we would not be those who waste our opportunity, but we pray we will be those who take hold of it with both hands, that we'll learn from my word the wonderful mysteries of God in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Bless our meeting together tonight. Bless our fellowship. Oh, Lord, speak by thy Holy Spirit into the heart of each one, and speak through thy servant by the power of thy Spirit. So strengthen each one of us, we pray. And bless our gathering together, we ask, through the precious name of the Lord Jesus and for his sake. Amen.
Amen.
I'm going to ask then our brother, Mr. Price, if you could kindly present for us. Shall we stand?
Heavens by the word of God did their beginning take. And by the breathing of his mouth, they all their hosts did make. The waters of the seas he brings to and
33 verse 12 says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we can echo in our hearts how blessed is the Lord whose God is the Lord. And Lord, we can say that not just about people groups, but about families, about individuals whose God is the Lord. Lord, we thank thee that thou hast made us thy people, that thou art our God, that we as a little gathering of God's people can say that we are blessed because we have made God the Lord. And Lord, we know that thou hast chosen us for thine inheritance. We may think that's a strange thing to say, that we can be an inheritance for God, but we know that the Lord Jesus, for the joy set before him, endured the cross. He went to the cross for his people. He went to the cross for his bride. And we are his bride. We know that every person who falls in love, he will do anything, she will do anything for her husband to be, and just as the husband would do anything for his bride, even laying down his life for her. And Lord, that is exactly what the Lord Jesus did for his bride, the church. Mm-hmm. Oh Lord, that we might see spiritually what we are in thine eyes, that we might appreciate. Look, we are married to the Lord Jesus, that we will be attending that wedding supper of the Lamb one day, clothed in the righteousness, the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ. We will be brides in white, glorious white clothing, because we've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. What a day that will be. And Lord, that's because thou hast chosen us. We did not choose thee. Thy word tells us this. Oh, what a blessed people we are. And oh Lord, in case there is anyone here who might ask, have I been chosen? Have I been passed by? We know that the proof that we've been chosen is that we will call upon the name of the Lord. And the Lord Jesus has said, he who comes to me, cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. So we have that assurance that the person who's chosen is evidenced in that that person will call on the name of the Lord for salvation. And so anyone here who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. They will be heard from heaven. It is because thou hast done that work in us to draw us to thyself, to cause us to call upon thy name. Because we know naturally we would remain in our sins, dead in trespasses and sins, unable and unwilling to call on the name of the Lord, loving our sin, loving our hatred of the Lord, refusing to come to him. But those who come to him have been caused to come to him. Lord, what a privilege it is to be part of thy chosen people. And may there be more, even this night. May thou graciously stir up amongst us that desire to call on the name of the Lord, to be real with thee, to know that we might know thee perfectly, as indeed we are known of thee. O Lord, help us. We know that we see but through a glass darkly. One day we will see face to face. We cannot understand so often the things that have come upon us. But Lord, may we even see a crack through those clouds tonight. May we see a ray of light shining down upon us as those clouds park apart perhaps for a moment. Fill us with the light of thy countenance, we pray. O Lord, stir up faith amongst thy people, we pray. And Lord, as we've looked at this verse, verse 12, we are reminded of the state of our nation. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And there was a time when it could be said of this land that our God was the Lord. There was a time when this nation was made great because its God was the Lord. But we have to acknowledge that things have changed. We no longer have a monarch whose God is the Lord, as far as we can see. At least we are grateful for the lip service he has paid to the God of the Bible and the Lord Jesus Christ, and that he has said he will uphold the laws of the gospel and the Protestant reformed religion in this land. But we doubt, although we know not for sure, we doubt he has said it in his heart simply by what we see and behold. And Lord, all we can see is the things that he says and does, and they do not seem to be consistent with a man who's truly come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we pray for his majesty the king. We pray for her majesty the queen. Please open their eyes to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that they may truly bow the knees of their hearts to him and acknowledge him as their Lord and Savior. And please, Lord, have mercy on the members of the royal family, we pray. We think of the Duke of Sussex and his wife, the Duchess of Sussex. Have mercy upon them. Let them not trust in uncertain riches, but let them trust in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And have mercy, we pray, on our Prime Minister, that he would not turn and continue to serve worthless idols, but he might turn and serve the living God in the Lord Jesus Christ. and have mercy on the on his cabinet as well. They have been preserved the ignominy of losing 3 by-elections. Thou hast had mercy. May they recognize it and be grateful and recognize surely the Lord hath done this. And might they turn from their wicked ways, and may they uphold the gospel in this land and the laws of the gospel, recognizing that to love our neighbor as ourselves, we need to keep the second table of the law. We need to uphold the sanctity of marriage. We need to abhor murder in all its forms. We need to protect unborn children. We need to protect the elderly and the vulnerable. We need to have laws that punish evildoers. Oh, Lord, have mercy on our land, we pray. Turn us again unto thee, we ask. Oh, Lord. And Lord, we remember other like-minded churches. We pray, Lord, that they might proclaim the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We do pray for our brother, Pastor Brown, Forest Hall. We pray, Lord, that thou wouldest build thy church there. For thou hast said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail. We pray that that promise would be fulfilled in that place, and that thou would be pleased not to remove the candlestick from its place there. These breasts bless our brother Jerry Sands, also in light, that he would know thy grace tonight as he preaches the word of God there. And our brother Henry Dixon at Poplar, we pray that thou wouldest bless the work there and appoint the right person to be our brother's assistant, who one day perhaps may be able to take over the work in that place. So we commit them into thy hands. We remember the saints at Barden Street. Thank you, Lord, for that gospel witness that remains there. We pray, Lord, for their need to appoint a pastor. Thou wouldest cause a man who will be faithful, godly, merciful, faithful to thy word, full of thy word, following thy word with all his heart, would be appointed there. And we pray too for the saints at Gurney Road in Stratford, thou wouldst bless them and appoint the man of thy choosing to continue the work there. We remember also nations across the world where there are wars, rumors of wars. Oh Lord, that thou wouldest preserve and protect thy people. Particularly we think of Ukraine, we think of the conflict, the unsung, as it were, unreported conflict in Armenia and other parts of the world. Oh Lord, please have mercy on thy people, guard and protect them, use them to bring many to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So finally, we remember those known to us who are sick or in any other kind of trouble. We do remember the lady that we've been praying much for, who refused treatment for cancer and who has but a very short time to live. Oh Lord, we pray for mercy for her. We pray even that thou mightest yet turn the tables and grant her life and health. Remember the neighbor of one of our sisters, Miss Fellowship, who has had a deliverance wonderfully on the operation table. We pray, Lord, that his gratitude would be towards thee, that thou wouldest turn his heart to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so let us remember any others known to us who need a touch in their hearts, in their bodies, in their souls. So Lord, we commit each one to thy tender keeping. Please, Lord Jesus, hear and answer prayer. Finally, we do again ask that thou wouldest speak through thy word to each one of us, that thou wouldest fill thy servant with thy Holy Spirit, that thy servant would speak as one who has the very oracles of God. We ask all these things through the precious name of the Lord Jesus and for his sake. Amen. The Old Testament reading will be Jeremiah chapter 10. Hear ye the word which the Lord speaketh unto you, O house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them. For the customs of the people are in vain, for one cutteth a tree out of the forest, the work of the hands of the workmen with the axe. They deck it with silver and with gold. They fasten it with nails and with hammers, that it move not. They are upright as the palm tree, but speak not. They must needs be born, because they cannot go. Be not afraid of them, for they cannot do evil, neither also is it in them to do good. For as much as there is none like unto thee, O Lord, thou art great, and thy name is great in might. Who would not fear thee, O King of nations? For to thee doth it appertain. For as much as among all the wise men of the nations, and in all their kingdoms, there is none like unto thee. But they are altogether brutish and foolish. The stock is a doctrine of vanities. Silver spread into plates is brought from Tarshish, and gold from Uphaz. The work of the workmen and of the hands of the founder. Blue and purple is their clothing. They are all the work of cunning men. But the Lord is the true God. He is the living God and an everlasting King. At his wrath, the earth shall tremble, and the nations shall not be able to abide his indignation. Thus shall you say unto them, the gods that have not made the heavens and the earth, even they shall perish from the earth and from under these heavens. He hath made the earth by his power. He hath established the world by his wisdom, and hath stretched out the heavens by his discretion. When he uttereth his voice, there is a multitude of waters in the heavens, and he causeth the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He maketh lightnings with rain, and bringeth forth the wind out of his treasures. Every man is brutish in his knowledge. Every founder is confounded by the graven image, for his molten image is falsehood, and there is no breath in them. They are vanity and the work of errors. In the time of their visitation, they shall perish. The portion of Jacob is not like them, for he is the former of all things, and Israel is the rod of his inheritance. The Lord of hosts is his name. Gather up thy wares out of the land, O inhabitant of the fortress. For thus saith the Lord, behold, I will sling out the inhabitants of the land at this once, and will distress them, that they may find it so. Woe is me for my hurt. My wound is grievous, but I said, truly, this is a grief, and I must bear it. My tabernacle is spoiled, and all my cords are broken. My children are gone forth of me, and they are not. There is none to stretch forth my tent any more, and to set up my curtains. For the pastors are become brutish, and have not sought the Lord. Therefore they shall not prosper, and all their flocks shall be scattered. Behold, the noise of the brutes is come, and a great commotion out of the north country, to make the cities of Judah desolate and a den of dragons. O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. O Lord, correct me, but with judgment, not in anger, lest thou bring me to nothing. Pour out thy fury upon the heathen that know thee not, and upon the families that call not on thy name. For they have eaten up Jacob, and devoured him, and consumed him, and have made his habitation desolate. We'll sing next Psalm 32, verses 7 to 11. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt from trouble keep me free. Thou with songs of deliverance about shalt compass me. I will instruct thee and thee teach the way that thou shalt go. And with mine eye upon thee set, I will direction show. Then be not like the horse or mule, which do not understand, whose mouth, lest they come near to thee, a bridle must command. Unto the man that wicked is, his sorrows shall abound. But him that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass round. Ye righteous in the Lord, be glad, in him do ye rejoice. All ye that upright are in heart, for joy lift up your voice. Psalm 32, verses 7 to 11. And can I ask Mr. Price to present, please, shall we stand?
Not my hiding place, thou shalt from
Second, something's gone wrong here. I haven't put in the New Testament reading. I'm sorry about that. If you could turn, please, to Matthew. I'm so sorry. I think it's Matthew 10, Matthew chapter 10. I just need to check my reference. Matthew chapter 10, verses 16 to 33. Matthew chapter 10, verses 16 to 33. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. And you shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what you shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. But when they persecute you in this city, flee ye into another. For verily I say unto you, ye shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It is enough for a disciple that he be as his master, and the servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call him of his household? Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light, and what ye hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your father. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Sing next, Psalm 75. I to the foolish people said, do not deal foolishly. And unto those that wicked are, lift not your horn on high. Lift not your horn on high, nor speak with stubborn neck, but know that not from east nor west nor south promotion doth flow. But God is judge, he puts down one and sets another up. For in the hand of God most high, a red wine is a cup. 'Tis full of mixture, he pours forth and makes the wicked all. Bring out the bitter dregs thereof, yea, and they drink them shall. But I forever will declare, I Jacob's God will praise. All horns of lewd men are cut off, but just men's horns will raise. Psalm 75, verses 4 to 10. Mr. Price, shall we stand?
I to the foolish people said, do not deal foolishly. And unto those that wicked are, lift not your horn on high. Lift not your horn on high, nor speak with some.
Somebody kindly just turn You click that once, hold it, and then click it again. Can somebody do that for me, please? Thank you. That's it. Thank you. As I said, I'll be taking my passage from Jeremiah chapter 10. Let me just quickly turn there. If you'd like to turn, if you've got a Bible, please do. And just to briefly summarize, if you would have picked it up from the reading, that Jeremiah is warning the people that their idolatry will be judged by God, and in short, being taken into captivity by the Babylonians. We have a clear description, don't we, of idolatry. We have it in verse 14. Every man is brutish in his knowledge. Every founder is confounded by the graven image, for his molten image is falsehood, and there is no breath in them. They are vanity and the work of errors. In the time of their visitation, they shall perish. Now, you might think, I don't worship idols. That doesn't apply to me. I'm not a Hindu. But does that not apply to that molten image? Does that not perhaps, can you think about, well, do I worship, for example, money? I mean, money becomes an idol when it is placed above God. And what did the Lord Jesus say? You cannot serve God and mammon, mammon being money. You have to choose whether you will serve God or serve money. Money, therefore, is an idol. For many, sport is an idol. What will they be doing today? They will be watching or participating in sport. Sadly, in this nation, football is the 21st century idol and has been the 20th century idol of many. And not just in this land, you will find in the far-flung parts of this world people following the successes and failures of one of our football teams. Sorry. Could you possibly stop it?
Yeah, you can stop it. Stop.
No, perhaps you could give it to somebody who can turn it off so it doesn't happen again.
Wrong then, it's gone.
Yeah, we could just perhaps turn it off so it doesn't happen again. It doesn't, it's a bit distracting.
Just need to turn it off. Yeah.
Thank you. I've got to ask everybody else to do the same. It's very easy to forget, isn't it? Just on silent, that's all that's needed, really. Thank you. And then in verse 17, we have what's going to happen. Gather up thy wares out of the land, O inhabitant of the fortress, for thus saith the Lord, behold, I will sling out. That's a pretty strong word, isn't it? Sling out. David used a sling to cast a stone out into the forehead of Goliath and killed him. He was going to sling them out. It was as if, like a stone being put into a sling, he was going to put the people of Israel into a sling and sling them out into Babylon. It's vivid language, isn't it? And will distress them, and they may find it so. Then in verse 22, it says, behold, the noise of the brute is come. Well, we know that this was written in the time of Josiah. This part, as far as I can work out, of the book was written. So it hadn't actually arrived yet. There comes a time, I think, around about Jeremiah chapter 25, when we are in the days of the invasion under Jehoiakim. But at this time, it was as it were, coming. Perhaps the storm clouds were gathering. Perhaps Babylon had begun to show an interest in, we know he did in Hezekiah's time, don't we, in taking Judea. But it was plainly, as it were, something that rather like as we saw in the Cold War, Russia growing in strength, we could say to some extent today, there's a warning clouds on the horizon. So it seems that it was like that at that time in Jeremiah's day. Behold, the noise of a brute is come, and a great commotion out of the north country to make the cities of Judah desolate and a den of dragons. This was a sobering warning and prospect of them all being exiled from Judah. And it must have been terrifying. Nothing like this had actually happened before to Judah. It happened to 10 tribes in Israel, but never happened to Judah. It couldn't happen here, surely, they would have thought. After all, they were the guardians of the temple. God was going to protect his temple, his presence, was he not? Well, no, that temple was to be destroyed. God, as we have seen, does not, in Isaiah chapter 66, he doesn't live in temples made by men's hands. He didn't need that temple in Jerusalem. No, we do think ourselves, oh, it couldn't happen to me, because it's never happened to me. It couldn't happen here. It's never happened before. But we've seen things, haven't we, that have never happened before. Whatever you think of lockdown and the government's response to COVID, I don't ask you for your opinions. They are divided, if I was to. But surely we can say that couldn't happen here. No one could have foreseen that in February 2020, in February 2020, it was inconceivable, even though COVID was very much around. It was inconceivable, but a month later, no one would be able to go out of their houses except to go for a short walk and go buy vital groceries. No one could have conceived that this country, as many others, were locked down. So we have to concede that the inconceivable can happen. And the problem in Jeremiah's day was that the people would not listen to him. They would not heed his warnings. If you remember the phrase being a, well, remember, you know that the phrase being a Jeremiah, perhaps it was more in my youth than today because people have lost biblical language, has entered into our language, hasn't it? A doom monger, someone who just will declare bad news. You can't see the good in anything. That's how people regarded Jeremiah. They hated him. They hated his warnings. They wanted just to block their ears and carry on in their own sweet way. Does that sound familiar to you? Does that sound familiar about how people heed the warnings of the gospel in our day? Do people even, have we ignored the warnings that are all about us, about how we should be living our lives? We may not be threatened with imminent invasion as Judah was, but we are in jeopardy. We are in danger of judgment, eternal judgment. If we don't put our house in order, then one day we're going to leave this world. And how will we be when we face the judgment seat of Christ, which every man, woman, and child will do? What will we say in that day? Will we say we are prepared? Or will we have to concede that we have, like the ostrich, buried our heads in the sand, just as the people of Judah were doing? Friends, we must ask ourselves, how do we respond to warnings of judgment? And what about the preacher, the Christian who warns people day and night and yet is not listened to? What should he or we do when everyone is against his message? and he has no one to turn to. Well, I have to say this, friends. There are times when we do have people to turn to. We have friends who are going through the same thing, and it's good. It's helpful to pour out our burdens and our hearts to them. But, and no doubt there were a few in the land that Jeremiah was able to unburden himself to. There would have been others who would have stood with him. Remember, in Elijah's day, he thought he was alone, warning the people against the prophets of Baal, a king and a queen that wanted to kill him. But then he was reminded there are 7,000 others who haven't bowed the knee to Baal. There are others who stand true to the faith, to the Christian faith in this land, as they would have been in Jeremiah's day. But you know, there's no one who understands our predicament, our grief, our disappointment better than the Lord Jesus, who was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin, who has compassion on the ignorant and them that are out of the way. Isn't it wonderful to know the Lord Jesus? He knows what we are going through, and he can sympathize with us. Friends, we must therefore take these burdens, our burdens, to the Lord as Jeremiah did. And he does so in these last three verses. Oh Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. Oh Lord, correct me, but with judgment, not in thine anger, lest thou bring me to nothing. Pour out thy fury upon the heathen that know thee not, and upon the families that call not on thy name. For they have eaten up Jacob and devoured him and consumed him and have made his habitation desolate. We're going to focus. There are three parts to this prayer, and they actually follow one verse each, really. And I am going to focus on verse 23. See, the first thing Jeremiah does in his prayer is he acknowledges a blessed truth. He is facing, the nation is facing imminent judgment, invasion by a hostile power. Imagine it was us about to be invaded by the Russians, perhaps. They'd managed to separate us from the rest of Europe. We were the focus of their wrath. It's a bit like that, isn't it? Although there is also the spiritual element with God's wrath, as it were, hanging over this nation, hanging over the people of this nation. Oh, Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. The Babylonians were the enemy. You see, so often we just think, if God was with us, we will not be invaded. If God will not have heard our prayer, if that which we fear comes upon us. But what Jeremiah is praying is slightly different, isn't it? Even if the Babylonians invade, they're only going to do what you, O Lord, allows them to do. See, no man can go beyond what God permits. Well, we have a picture of what went through Nebuchadnezzar's mind before he invaded Judah. We have it in Ezekiel chapter 21, verses 18 to 22, where we read, "The word of the Lord came unto me again, saying, Also thou son of man, appoint thee two ways, that the sword of the king of Babylon may come. Both twain shall come forth out of one land, and choose thou a place, choose it at the head of the way to the city. Appoint a way that the sword may come to Ramoth of the Ammonites and to Judah in Jerusalem, the defensed. For the king of Babylon stood at the parting of the way, at the head of the two ways to use divination. He made his arrows bright. He consulted with images. He looked in the liver. At his right hand was a divination for Jerusalem to appoint captains, to open the mouth in the slaughter, to lift up the voice with shouting, to appoint battering rams against the gates, to cast a mount and to build a fort. So we have this picture of Nebuchadnezzar and all his armies arriving at a crossroads, just as you and I would arrive at a crossroads in a car. And I don't know whether you've traveled on the continent. Well, we have at least one brother who lives on the continent. But you see, right, rather improbably, in Toulouse, right in the south of France, you see an arrow to Paris, which just a small arrow. And well, that's the way to the capital city. Sorry, I remember that many years ago. But it's as it were, he arrives at the at this crossroads. To the left, Jerusalem. To the right, the Ammonites. Which shall I do? He had a cause against both these nations. Where was he going to go? And what does he do? He uses pagan divination. It is a bit like tossing a coin. It's the equivalent, really, isn't it? He was trying to find out from a power outside himself which way to go, what to do. And we had a an example of drawing lots last week. In the there was an election for the head of the council, and the two, I don't know if you read about this, I'm sorry, I didn't have time to research it more fully, so I'm relying on my memory. I can't even remember which council it was, but there were two councils, two people. I think one was a Liberal Democrat and the other was a Tory. They both had equal votes even after three recounts. So the returning officer said, well, we'll draw lots, toss a coin. And it was in fact the Conservative councillor who won. Well, to turn to a biblical example, when choosing the replacement for Judas, there were two candidates. Obviously, the disciples couldn't tell them apart. Who should we choose, Matthias or Barsabas? They drew lots. And it was Matthias who won. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 33 tells us, the lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. As far as we're concerned, tossing a coin is just turning to chance. It's a chance event, isn't it? How is it going to fall? Well, I don't. Of course, friends, and we don't draw lots for every decision, because we're given minds. And of course, we sung in Psalm 32, didn't we, that we're not to be like the mule, the horse who's turned to the right, turned to the left. We don't ask God to direct us with traffic lights, as it were. If I go to the right, it's this signal. We are to use Christian minds. We're given the mind of Christ. We should use it, and we make decisions with wisdom. But there are some times where wisdom, as it were, fails us. Only in those exceptional times should we consider drawing lots. But the truth is that God is sovereign over what otherwise we would regard as a chance event. Solomon writes in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 12, I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happeneth to them all. All of us are subject to apparently random events outside our control. They determine the course our lives will take. But who is responsible for these chance events? Well, the world would say, oh, that's fate for you. It was meant to be. But the Christian says God is sovereign over chance. It was meant to be because God ordained it. Friends, it is folly to think that you and I are not subject to random events outside our control. None of us know if we're going to even have our health tomorrow, let alone banking on it. None of us know if we're going to have our wealth tomorrow, let alone banking on it, assuming it. No, such assumptions, such presumptions are foolish. Scripture plainly teaches that what is chance to men is designed by God. And a classic example is, of course, the death of King Ahab. King Ahab was killed by an arrow. It says in 2 Kings chapter 22 that it was drawn at a venture. Somebody must have just put his bow in the air, pulled it, let go of the arrow, and wondered where it would land. It happened to land between the cracks of King Ahab's armor. Oh, that was unlucky for King Ahab, wasn't it? That was a lucky shot if you were on the side of the enemies of Israel. But of course, the truth is that we only have to go a little earlier in the chapter to see that Micaiah had predicted this event. He had predicted that Ahab would fall. He had prophesied it because the Spirit of God had come upon him. And so we know that it could not have been. It wasn't a chance event. God used that arrow to bring Ahab's life to its conclusion. It's an example of what is chance to man is intended by God. Well, it's not just the soldier drawing his bow. It's emphasized in the passage we read today by the Lord Jesus as a comfort for believers when he compared us to sparrows in Matthew chapter 10, verses 29 to 31. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? Well, we don't buy sparrows, do we? We've got no use for sparrows. I don't know if anyone, children like to have sparrows for pets. Probably not. Prefer a cat, perhaps, to a sparrow. I can see a head nodding. Sparrows have no value in this country. We don't eat them. Sorry, that's probably put you off your dinner. Yet, one of them shall not fall to the ground without your Father. That's not to say that God protects every sparrow in the sense that no sparrow will ever fall to the ground, but no sparrow will fall to the ground unless God has allowed it. So if God is sovereign over a sparrow's life and death, how much more is he sovereign over yours and mine? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. If he cares about sparrows, how much more does he care about you? Well, returning to our passage, by praying as Jeremiah prays, the way of man is not in himself. He was reminding himself that however bleak things were to become, or were even at that time, the worst of men, the most evil of men, could only do what God permitted. They cannot go beyond what is intended. And we see this principle time and again in Scripture. Joseph's brothers were consumed with envy against Joseph. They intended to take him and his coat of many colors. Have you seen Joseph's multi? There's a musical, isn't there, of Joseph and his multicolored dream coat? I wonder if we've seen it. Well, here he was wearing his coat of multicolors, taken by his brothers, cast into a pit. They were going to leave him to die. No water. It wouldn't have taken very long. But they didn't get away with their evil designs because God said, actually, enemies of Israel, Ishmaelites. Ishmaelite traders on their camels. Don't know if you've ever seen a camel train. It must have been quite a sight. And Judah came up with the idea of selling Joseph to them to become a slave. And we all know what happened. He became the ruler of Egypt. And in fact, he saved his brothers and all their families from famine. And this is what Joseph said in Genesis chapter 45, verse 8. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. It's an extraordinary thing to say, isn't it? It wasn't these evil brothers. I mean, fancy having a brother or a sister like that, who so envies you, they're going to kill you. But you see, even their worst intentions were used by God for their good, amazingly. So now it was not that you sent me hither, but God. And he hath made me a father to Israel, to Pharaoh, and lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. What jealous brothers could do, God overruled for good. So he does in every situation. Balaam wanted to curse the people of God, but he wasn't even fit to put his own words in his mouth. God made him bless them. Herod wanted to execute Peter after he'd executed James, the Lord's brother. But he couldn't because the Lord rescued him by his angel. Even, does anyone know about the story in 1508 of this poor, pious woman burnt at Chippen Sudburn by order of the Chancellor, Dr. Whittenham? After she had been consumed in the flames and the people were returning home, no doubt, Dr. Whittenham wondered who next he could burn to the stake, which other innocent Protestants could be taken from this world. After she'd been consumed in the flames and the people were returning home, a bull broke loose from a butcher and singling out the Chancellor from all the rest of the company, he gored him through the body and on his horns carried his entrails. This was seen by all the people. And it is remarkable that the animal did not meddle with any other person, whatever. God's sovereignty, thus far and no further. And the judgment of God falling on this hapless Chancellor who dared to raise his fist against the living God. So it is not in man to direct his steps. The lesson for us is that we would be fools if we made decisions thinking that God didn't control everything. Consider the rich young ruler. Remember what he said in Luke chapter 12, verses 18 to 21. This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. This is not saying, friends, that you can't have money and be a Christian, but it is saying you can't be a miser wanting to store up all your money for yourself and not face the judgment of God like this man. His problem was he wasn't rich towards God. He only cared about himself. And there is the lesson. This is what happened to him. That very night, his first night, it is perhaps in his retirement. His life was taken from him. Friends, it's happened time and again. We've known it in our own lifetime, haven't we? People go to their dream retirement location. Sometimes they don't even get one night there. Their life is taken from them. The answer, friends, is to be rich towards God today, tomorrow, the day after. Then you don't need to worry about death. You don't even need to worry about your retirement, whether you'll have enough for it. God will provide for you if you're rich towards him. Remember what we read in James chapter 4. We're going to just take our lives in our own hands. I remember preaching on this at the beginning of COVID from verse 13. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. If the Lord will. The Lord willing. Do we say that about all our plans? We should do, shouldn't we? Because he may not be willing, and if he's not willing, it won't happen. The godly man, I don't know if anyone, I'm sure at least one person here sitting at the back will know the name of John Berridge. John Berridge was a follower of John Wesley, and then he changed his theology. I think he maintained a lot of his friendships with the Methodists. He came to a reformed view. And this is what he said. Now, this is the constant practice of God's children. David always ran to the oracle or the ephod when he had any business to do, saying, shall I do thus and thus, or shall I not? Jacob, in his journey, I had to think about this quite carefully, actually, to see if I agree with it. But I think he's right. Jacob in his journey would neither go to Laban nor come from him without a warrant. His warrant to go to him was he was basically made to go to him by his father, Isaac. And he left him. He had that dream, if you remember. He had God's authority to go and to leave Laban. And we've already heard about we've heard about Ramoth Gilead, the battle where King Ahab was killed. Jehoshaphat, the reason why Micaiah was even called upon was because Jehoshaphat would not stir a foot until he had counsel from God. He required God to be consulted. He said, inquire, I pray thee, of the Lord today. 1 Kings chapter 22, verse 2. And then we read in Judges chapter 1, verse 1. Now, after the death of Joshua, it came to pass that the children of Israel asked the Lord, saying, Who shall go up for us against the Canaanites first to fight them? Psalm 24, verse 6. This is what the psalmist wrote. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob. A Christian is one that seeks God's face. You know, people call themselves Christians, but the true Christian will seek God in all his or her decisions. Do you and I do that? Or do you and I go our merry way, hoping that God will be with us, but without that assurance that he is, and in truth, without having any justification to expect him to be with us because we haven't consulted him? We've done what we want. We've not consulted him first. That's a warning for all of us. May you think I'm preaching to you. I'm preaching to myself as well. It's very easy when you think you stand to fall into error. Daily, it's a daily walk, friends. Well, secondly, and I'm going to take these next two verses very quickly because I'm out of time. Thank you for bearing with me so far. He prays about the situation in Judah. Oh, Lord, and he does it in the first person. Oh, Lord, correct me, but with judgment, not in thine anger, lest thou bring me to nothing. There are two ways God corrects. He sends his judgment in wrath against the evildoer to destroy them. But he also sends his correction to his children to discipline them, to make them holy. And friends, we never know. When hardship comes on another person, it's easy to think, oh, he's deserved that. She's deserved that. She must have committed some terrible sin. But that's a foolish thing to say, because we don't know whether God is correcting them in judgment because they don't belong to him, and he is angry with their evil doing, and this is really the first fruits of an eternal destruction, or whether he sent hardship like he did to Job to sanctify him. Whether it is like the, if you remember, there was the man who took awfully, couldn't think of worse, you know, one can't remember much worse than being unfaithful with your stepmother. Here was a man who was. And Paul's answer to that was, you give him to Satan to destroy his flesh. In other words, he will come to such trouble that finally he will hear the voice of the Lord. He'll call on the name of the Lord. And that's what he did. And he repented. We read about that in 2 Corinthians. There was a happy ending there. But people might have wondered when whatever hardship came upon him. Oh, that's the judgment of God. This is the beginning of what he's going to get. But friends, it was actually the correction of God to bring him back. And if you're going through hardship, maybe you should pray. Maybe I should pray as Jeremiah prays in verse 24. Oh Lord, correct me, but with judgment, not in thine anger, lest thou bring me to nothing. Don't pour out thine anger, thy wrath upon me, so I'm destroyed, but correct me. Do what's needed to bring me back on the right path. That's our prayer, isn't it? Is that your prayer? Please make it your prayer, my prayer. That's what Jeremiah does. And then he says, you see, you may think, how very unfair that the Babylonians, who are far more evil than the people of Israel, how unfair on them, how unfair that it is that they get away with destroying the people of Israel, yet they're more evil. Well, let's look at verse 25. Pour out thy fury upon the heathen that know thee not, and upon the families that call not on thy name. For they have eaten up Jacob and devoured him and consumed him and have made his habitation desolate. Yes, God may have ordered the Babylonians to attack and to destroy Israel at that parting of the ways. Yes, God directed that Nebuchadnezzar would turn to the Jews and not to the Ammonites. But in the end, they didn't do it out of righteous judgment. They did it in their evil hearts, and they were destroyed. As it happens, Nebuchadnezzar, I think, was saved. But the Babylonians, as a people, they suffered terribly in the end. They were judged for their evil work, because there was a lot of evil done. So read Lamentations, what happens? The wickedness of the Babylonians. They were punished for it, even though they did God's will. They were God's instrument to bring his correction to the people of Israel. Friends, God is just. No wickedness will escape his eye. He is all-seeing, all-knowing, and to his people, all-loving. He desires not the death of a sinner. He desires you and me to come to him. Will we? Will you? Well, I hope those longings are arising in our hearts, that we will call on the name of the Lord, that he's correcting us in judgment and not in anger. May the Lord help us all. Amen. Someone turn on the overhead projector, please. Brother Ennie, could you possibly turn on the, or yeah, and one of you, could you turn on the overhead projector? Sorry, I didn't mean to put to project my notes from my sermon, but I hope that was helpful. We'll finish with Psalm 37. One moment, please. Just plug in. For such as blessed be of him, the earth inherit shall, and they that cursed are of him shall be destroyed all. A good man's footsteps by the Lord are ordered aright, and in the way wherein he walks, he greatly doth delight. Although he fall, yet shall he not be cast down utterly, because the Lord with his own hand upholds him mightily. I have been young and now I'm old, yet have I never seen the just man left, nor that his seed, that for bread have beggars been. He is ever merciful and lends, his seed is blessed therefore. Depart from evil and do good, and dwell forevermore. For God loves judgment, and his saints leads not in any case. They are kept ever, but cut off shall be the sinner's race. Psalm 37, verses 22 to 28, and then and Mr. Amaral, please come up and could you close briefly in prayer, because I noticed we're rather short of time. Thank you.
Oh, such as blessed be of him, the earth inherit shall, and may shall be destroyed. A good man's footsteps by the Lord are ordered aright, and in the Thank you. because the Lord with his own hand upholds him mightily, I have been young and now am old, yet I never seen the just man left, nor that his seed for bread and beggars be. He's ever merciful and lets his seed is blessed, therefore depart from evil and do good and dwell forevermore. For God loves judgment and his saints please not in any case. They are but God shall be the sinner's grace.
Please be seated, and Mr. Amrah, if you could come and close in prayer, please.
Echoing the message on the verse that was shared with us, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to correct his steps. O Lord, correct me, but with judgment, not in thine anger, lest thou bring me to nothing. O Lord our God, we thank you once again for the way that you have spoken clearly to our minds and our hearts, exposing us to our nothingness and to our utter foolishness when we are confronted with our selfish composing our own future, trusting and charting our future with the best motivation that this world and our own learning from this world. Forgive us for many times, O Lord, when we use our own way, trying to motivate ourselves with the teaching of this world and the readings of various opinions of men that encourage and motivates about a well-charted future. But in the end, O Lord, we know that this is your natural way. And thank you that you teach us tonight that we cannot direct our own steps. And what we think, what is best in the future, it is our downfall, as you have spoken clearly tonight. Help us to fear thee as we should, O Lord. Forgive us for the way that we followed our own will and act independently from your leading. And so many times, O Lord, we find ourselves disappointed and slow to grow spiritually in getting up from our various failures and medicines. Thank you for the way that you have spoken tonight, each one of us, even through the lives of your people Israel, who have, and to various kings who have led thy nation in utter idolatry through the false gods of other nations. We ourselves also have fallen prey on the wisdom of this world that we thought that we have learned the good things of this life when we follow our own will. Thank you that your way is better than our ways, that your will is better than our will. Give us now the leading of your Holy Spirit, that we might choose your will and not our own way. Grant us the wisdom that will help us to better understand your leading every step of the way. So help us to seek your face day by day, not to allow any single day not to be directed by thee. As your word says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, nice to have you all with us online. And I wish you good night. And if you're able to join us tomorrow at 6 o'clock, you're very welcome. Thank you. Lord bless you all. Good night.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good night.
Bye.